And I thought, well, I lived close to the water or on the water most of my life, Lake Ontario, Chesapeake Bay, up here on the ocean and the rivers. And I always knew myself to be keeper of the earth. I remember telling my young son that, well, you know, we are keepers of the earth. And it's been with me for a long time. I wasn't, you know, quite sure where did it come from. Well, my mother was always talking to the birds. She'd say, "That's pretty, that's pretty." And she used to sing the song of the white-throated sparrow. I never knew the name of the bird, but she'd go, "Oh, Sam, Peabody, Peabody, Peabody." You might recognize that from what I'm trying to do. My dad used to fish after coming out of the dental office. And when I lived up there on Lake Ontario, he put his fish in the big old, you know, working sink down in the basement, and until he could, you know, clean them. So I'd go down there and, you know, make friends with the fish, like befriend the fish. Just, and of course, had a terrible time when the fish got cleaned. But I did it repeatedly, make friends with the fish. And my uncle used to give me rabbit tails. You know, he was a hunter. He'd shoot a rabbit. He'd give me the tail. And I had this little collection of rabbit tails that I just loved. And I didn't get all, you know, beside myself about it. I just loved those rabbit tails. And then there was dogs. I remember my first dog, and I've done a lot of shrink work on you know, not getting to say goodbye to the dog and all of that. Sometime in my adult life, I realized that dog is God spelled backwards. Did you ever think about that? Dog is God spelled backwards. Well, somehow it was like a, you know, a big enlightened notion to me, and I began to think about things very differently. You know, when I was a teenager, we spent a lot of time on the Chesapeake Bay, and we'd go crabbing. And I remember giving a talk in high school about, you know, pulling up the crabs, and I really could hardly do it. And my dad would, you know, be scooping them up and stuff. And I loved eating them, but I just could hardly, you know, pull them up and throw them in the basket. And then when you hear them in, you know, steaming in the can and they're trying to get out, oh, but I don't know, my concern about the crabs you know, in my real adult life, I spent a lot of time protesting around the issue of the red knot birds that go from way down in South America, I mean, southern South America, up over the Arctic line, Arctic Circle, in their migration, and they stop along the Delaware Bay in New Jersey, and along a whole way along from Virginia up to Jersey. But Jersey's a really hot spot for it, and they feed on the eggs of horseshoe crabs. And the timing is the moon phases in May, and the tide. It's all together, and these birds show up. And they really chow down on all these eggs. And there's a problem because there's these people called crabbers who are scooping up the horseshoe crabs as they come ashore to lay their eggs, or, and they take the crabs and they make them into conch. They use them to bait. They use them as bait for conchs so that they can make conch chowder. And And they also use horseshoe crabs for medical purposes, but those supposedly get put back in the water, but, you know, they don't always survive. And I would go to meetings of the Fisheries Council, and I just spent so much time writing legislators and so forth. And we finally got a ban. We couldn't get a ban the whole way, but we did get a ban on Jersey during that period. But, you know, the notions that you can just, you know, do what you want to do with nature. It's there, you know, for our service so we can do more is just so foreign to me. And, I just spend a lot of time with that issue. And, I'd gotten into birding then, and birds have become, as you know, my sort of go-to. It's like part of my spiritual path. And, I just, you know, again, I join lots of, organizations to try to preserve habitat and so forth. And one of the things that came to me as I thought about this topic of nature and me and how it plays out in my life, I thought about my night blooming cirrus plants, my queens that I started from a leaf in about 1981, 82. So look how old they are. And you know, I get all excited about them. I'm not much of a gardener right now, but I love that people do. I mean, their path is the dirt and the soil and the flowers and, or the veggies. I do feel I have a special thing about trees and stumps. You know, I have to always, if I find a new stump, I have to go over and sort of touch it and give blessing and honor and so forth. So I have talked before, I think, about how I have to move dead animals off the road or take injured animals, take them to the vet. I just recently had one, you know, I got it there, but it was dead by the time I got it there. So it's not always very much, doesn't always have a happy ending, but sometimes they do. I've saved several animals this year. And anyway, I always have this blessing when I do take them off the road. Bless your heart and soul, your body to the earth, your spirit to the wind, and your energy to God and the universe. And it really helps me be able to, if I can't stop and pick it up because it's dangerous, you know, it helps me to be able to drive by or, you know, to walk by if it's too messed up to pull off. And anyway, that's been a part of me for decades. I do that. And I recommend something like that if you have any sort of troubles of walking by dead animals. I think the biggest thing in my life in this area, nature and me, you know, happy together, was my experience at Altamira. And I think I've mentioned this in a focus that I've done once or twice. I'd arranged this program for, it was when I was working at Princeton, for the alumni travels, and we were visiting, I don't know, maybe 12, 15 caves in Spain and France. And I'd made all the arrangements. It was a, you know, at least a 2-week deal till we got to all of these. I didn't have my son with me. It didn't seem to be appropriate, kind of territory for me to manage him and, you know, 15, Princeton alumni. So anyway, I had made all the arrangements to get people into this particular cave, you know, and all the rest. Altamira is one of the, I don't know, maybe most special research places. And at the time, they had only the the real original cave. Like there's a cave called Lascaux where there's a replica that they've built. So now tourists can go into Lascaux II, and, you know, Roman numeral II, and they get a replica of the real deal. But at the time, and this was back in the 80s, Altamira didn't have anything like that, and you either got in or you didn't. Well, everybody got in, except the woman guard said that, no, the bus driver and I, we couldn't go. There'd been enough people. They can't take any more, et cetera. So I was terribly, terribly disappointed, especially having made all the arrangements for all the days and the caves and the people and the food and, you know, the whole deal. And then all of a sudden she came to me and she said, well, you can go in. And so I went in and I was by myself. Everyone had already been through, and I came into this big cavern. And I just had this feeling that women had been there. And, you know, you don't, at least you didn't used to hear about women doing the cave painting or women playing any role in what went on in the caves. And, I don't know. I just felt there had been women doing something in this, you know, the first big, I can't think of the word, but the first big cavern. And then I walked further in various rooms and I came to the chamber that has the reddish bison on the ceiling. And again, I was by myself. I don't know where the bus driver was, but I was by myself. And it was a small area. I certainly couldn't touch the ceiling, but the ceiling wasn't very far over my head. And I looked up and I can feel the same thing happening to me that happens every time I tell this story. I looked up and I see the bison, the painted red bison up on the ceiling. And I catch the bison eye. And I am immediately in tears. It was uncontrollable. I just had this total experience of looking at that bison eye. And I don't think I said it out loud, but I said it to myself. And I knew I am one with you, one with the universe. I mean, I just choke up when I say it. And I've never had the experience since, but there was something about that experience. You know, me and nature, me and the universe. And, when I think about the climate crisis, I don't have any trouble with being one of species. You know, I'm into stewardship, but not being the dominant species. And I just, feel so deeply that we have to recognize that we are part of it. We are interdependent, codependent, whatever you want to call it. We can't do this on our own, and it's not, We need all of it. We need it for just walking. We need it for looking at the trees, or the trees that used to be at Martha's house, and, you know, doing our walks, and whether we get it through art, we just really need nature and to recognize our part with it. And I'm so grateful that I had that experience in Altamira. And I wish everyone could have such a time. And all the rest of the caves were, thanks, great. And all the rest of the caves were great too. There was a cave where the man who found the cave took us in. And he pointed out, he didn't really speak English, but he pointed out this sort of what do you call that, concave, this kind of scooped out area. And what he was telling us was that's where the bear that had lived in the cave for, a zillion years way back, that's where the bear had worn the rock in the cave by sleeping there all the time. Anyway, I go to the refuge pretty much every day, and I go there for solace, and I go there to see birds and be with birds, and I wouldn't be able to live without it. And I certainly couldn't deal with all of this overwhelm right now. So I recommend it. You and nature, perfect together. Anybody got a question? I'm happy to answer, or if you want to chat a little bit, and then we got to take a break and get our lunch and get back for planning. Oh, I'll tell you some good news. Olivia's on.
Oh, good. Mary Margaret, you remind me of Francis of Assisi.
You think so?
Yes, because, he was a saint who loved the earth, loved animals, every living creature. And he's one of he's the second oldest founder of an order. I think the Benedictines are older than the Franciscans, and in some churches, Catholic and Episcopal, I don't know about others, will bless the animals.
Yep.
A couple of weeks ago, and I forget which date, but
that's
they blessed the
us.
Animals.
Mm-hmm.
And we were at a church in Boston one time, and the policeman rode in on his horse to bless the horse. And I guess they stopped doing it because the horse was slipping on the floor.
Ah.
So now they do it outside, but people
yeah.
bring their pets, their rabbits, their chickens to be blessed. It's he's a lovely saint and humble and anyway.
Great.
Love nature.
Thanks for bringing that up.
Who the Pope calls himself after.
Exactly. Exactly. And I thought it was Francis Xavier, but it wasn't.
Karen? You're muted. Do you have to leave? Hey, thanks for being here. Do you think that's what she's saying?
I don't know.
Do you want to unmute, Karen?
Having a problem unmuting.
You can always press the space bar.
I wish we could help her.
That work on Macs?
Yeah.
We gotta read lips here.
Whoops.
So it's the microphone at the bottom left of the Zoom screen. Whoops.
Yes, she's gone.
Goodbye. Say goodbye to her from us.
You have to hold it down. You don't just press it. You hold. You press and hold, and then it unmutes it only. But if
yes.
it's
only while you're holding it down.
Well, that's good for all of us.
Hey, does somebody else have a Erica?
So where was the cave again? Just out of curiosity.
Altamira is in Spain.
Oh, beautiful!
I don't remember exactly where.
I was wondering. Thank you for your share. It was lovely.
Thank you.
I love picturing you in places that I've been that we haven't been together, like Plum Island and stuff like that.
Yeah, maybe we can do that for the 50th anniversary.
There you go.
Yeah, I'd like that.
I would love to go birding with you, and Dawn would love to go birding with you. I was wondering if you could repeat and or put in the chat the prayer you say, because I would like to join you in that practice.
Oh.
Because I have a prayer too, I say. I used to like, people do crazy things on their bikes and stuff like that. And I drive for a living and I see a lot of wacky stuff. And before I had this job, I started this practice that instead of saying like something, that was very reflexive
yes.
and And also true to my experience, I started saying, may the angels go with you. May the angels go with yes. you. The angels go with you. And that really helped.
Yes, it does. I do that with speeding cars or the ones that come up on your bumper and stuff. And I'm, you know, may all beings be peaceful. May all beings be peaceful. But I'll put it in the chat during the break.
Bravo. Thank you.
Okay. Glad you liked it. Anybody else? Any comments? All right. Let's, it is about 10 after 12. So can we return?